welcome to the latest episode of Yachting Canada. I'm your host, Adam Langley, along with our co-host, Amanda Langley. And we're here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in the Great White North. But we're talking with one of our favorite yachting friends, Captain Liam Devlin, who is in the Dominican Republic today. Incidentally, he left Canada yesterday. I don't know why, Liam. Maybe you could tell us a little more about why he left. But we're here today to talk with Liam and talk about Canada as a destination and all the reasons why you need to make this part of the world with over 200,000 kilometers of coastline your next yachting itinerary.
And thank you for being our first Zoom interview. This is we're trying to do these in person, but doesn't always
it's
work
much
out.
It's better at a boat show, I've got to admit. It's much better at a
boat. It's so much fun, yeah.
Well, speaking of which, Liam, it was pretty cool. We met you a couple of years ago at the Newport Charter Show.
That's right.
And then we saw you again last year at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. And we've been talking about, you know, getting you up to Canada. And you finally did come to Canada, but of all times of the year, you decided to come in January and February. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your recent, you know, experience in Canada, specifically Montreal?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. I'm completely honored. I have so much respect for you both, and I've watched your travel business-wise for the last kind of several years. I've been to Halifax probably about four times now over my career, over 25 years in yachting. And I've seen your company develop and the brand develop, and you're doing an amazing job, not only for yourself,
thank you,
but for Yachting Canada, because it does need exposure. It's an area there that's quite remote in terms of its attractions of people, the way they see Canada. They see it as a bit far away, but it's only an overnight run from Boston. Like, it's literally an overnight run from Boston.
That's why we do these things, so that we're shedding light on all those misconceptions.
Exactly. I've been to Canada several times. I've completed the Northwest Passage, which I'm really passionate about, and I love remote cruising. But it only works when you have support of a company like yourselves. And that's where it's important that we do kind of spread the word out to people in the yachting industry that the tools are now available to go to Canada from America to transit easily either to Halifax or different areas. Even St. John, even Greenland's opening up and places like that, which give you different tools to see these remote places. But I've personally moved from Dominican Republic, which I'm currently at now, to Montreal, Canada, for my children's education and a different lifestyle. And I was lucky enough to go to the Montreal Boat Show the other day and sent you some
pictures. I love that footage.
it was special. And I've been to a lot of boat shows in my career, obviously, with 25 years as a captain. But in Montreal, it was the energy you got from the Canadians and their enthusiasm and their skill set and their welcomeness and their, you know, the dynamic approach they have to solving problems. It was just a fantastic show.
They're probably just excited to think about summer.
Yeah.
It was indoors. It was indoors. I'll give you that much. It was the first boat club indoors, you know.
I suspect as the captain of Motor Yacht Unbridled, 58-meter Trinity, you probably could have fit most of the boats in the Toronto or the Montreal Boat Show into the garage on Bridal.
Yeah, they're all definitely look like tenders, but I kind of found my dream boat, which was just a rowing boat with a little fishing kit on the front.
I saw that on your socials. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I said, sweetheart, that's what I need. Little electric engine, no petrol on board, just a little electric engine now, a little bait and tackle box, but that's a simple life. But, yeah, no, I do. I'm passionate about Canada, and Unbridled's now in Panama, and we're going to Vancouver. We're going to the West Coast. We'll be cruising that area and up towards Alaska. So on both coasts, you have a little gem that people don't seem to embrace or understand, you know, how to get their hands on it, how to navigate it, how to cruise there.
Yeah, it kind of still remains a little under the radar, and that's what kind of makes it even more special, I think. It's definitely getting a lot of attention when people do hear about it. They're starting to think, okay, well, especially expedition yachts and anybody that loves the outdoors, once they do kind of dive into it, they're like, oh my gosh, why is this not more well known?
Exactly. And it's less lobster pots than Maine. That's what I can tell every captain, go to Canada, less lobster pots than Maine, you know?
Well, that's right. That's true. And that's that local knowledge that you get when you're working with folks like ourselves that give you that confidence, because we can give you the insights on, you know, there are different lobster seasons in our region, but we can make sure your itinerary is gets around that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But we want to also thank you, Liam, because what you're doing, you put yourself out here now with social media, a work that you're doing, and you're really inviting the audience into the experience of the yacht and your experience with the captain and those of your crew. And we know you have some Canadians on board, you're on board Unbridled, who we have met in the past. So it's huge. What you're doing is a real great support to the work. It's very complimentary to what we're doing. And it's getting more people more familiar with Canada as a yachting destination. So thank you. We want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Pleasure. I mean, I think traditionally people see it as like tourism boards sell places or brokers sell itineraries, but they don't really sell the attractions. They just sell a charter that goes to Canada or an owner's trip that goes to Canada. There's so much more to it. And for me as a captain, after 25 years, I've seen behind the scenes, and it's kind of, I like the behind the scenes a bit more than what the end product is. Because the behind the scenes, what you're offering and where do you find the actual really the best restaurant in Halifax? You know, not just the one you go down there to and not the one the tourist guides recommend. It's the local knowledge kind of gives you that backbone. And from a maritime perspective, the support we need as yachts, it's hard. It's really hard to get a company to understand what we need when we go to a location, you know?
Right. Yeah. And a lot of, I mean, I think a lot of what we do is setting expectations too, and making sure that, you know, we're sending you into, there's lots of amazing rural ports to visit on this coast over here in, we're in Nova Scotia, of course, but in the Atlantic provinces. But we want to make sure that, you know, when you go to those places, you know what's available to you for services and infrastructure. And that we're, you know, your expectations are, you know what to expect before you get into those more remote places.
So what are the challenges that people come and ask you about when yachts are coming to Canada? Like, what's your...
Well, one of the biggest...
Where to go, what to see.
Yeah, but there are also questions around, is it, you know, is it easily accessible? With ports of entry and customs are always a question. And then if you're well prepared, the answer is yes. If you're not well prepared and you show up with certain items or your paperwork's not in order, the answer is no. So it's much like coming into the an airport, as we have really well staffed Canadian Border Services who are familiar with yachts now, especially over the last decade that more boats have been coming. So if everyone has their, you know, their stuff in order, it's great. But then the biggest question I've been asked over the years, and I've been involved in the yachting industry for, I think, almost 15 years now, is they need to know what to do. As you, one of your greatest priorities is, I need to entertain the guest and the owner and help them have an amazing experience that they would otherwise never even dream of. So it's the itinerary. It's how we help support the development of the itinerary.
And how much they're always surprised with how much there is to see, and they never allow enough time. So it's kind of about chatting with them earlier rather than later in their planning. Because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, we can see Nova Scotia in 2 days.
Yeah. And this is not going to happen. And same with we're blessed with three coastlines, with our East Coast, West Coast, and then we have the Northwest Passage, which you have transited. I understand that's one of your greatest, most memorable trips is doing the Northwest Passage. So it's having the network across Canada as well. And I want to give a shout out to our friends at Victoria International Marina in Victoria, Vancouver Island. Those guys are tremendous. They got a great program. Hopefully you're going to be seeing them on your West Coast, British Columbia itinerary. But it's working coast to coast so that we're creating more awareness of our country, because we are separated by 3,000 miles between Halifax and Vancouver. And then, you know, the other great things, and you've spent time this winter in Montreal on the St. Lawrence Seaway, bringing a yacht all the way up into the center of our respect, you know, Canada and the U.S. with the Great Lakes.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible.
Quebec City. When I was in Quebec City, I was just looking at it going, this is heaven. Like Quebec City, where you see the St. Lawrence Seaway almost at its narrowest, and you got vineyards on one side, waterfalls on the other side. I'm like, how are yachts not coming up here?
Right. That's That's the reaction most captains have, regardless of where they go in Canada. How are not more people coming here?
Yeah. So do you think it's just a lack of awareness, or do you think it's a, you know, we're just brainstorming here as well, as much as an interview, but
it's awareness is definitely always going to be not as high as it needs to be, because, you know, we have a short season. So as far as investment by government and other traditional tourism boards and marine tourism doesn't have the emphasis that other modes of getting here do, but that's improving. I think also it's, you know, just the confidence in folks like yourself to know that I won't be let down.
Yeah.
Right. It's easy to stick to the milk runs and the safe places that everyone goes to, because you can check those boxes and like, okay, this is going to likely go quite well. Mm-hmm. Steering north and cruising past New England and Maine is sort of into the great unknown. I remember joking years ago with many captains whom I was meeting at the boat shows and saying, look, I promise you, you're not going to sail off the edge of the world.
You're right, actually. People stop at Boston, they don't sell anymore, in a sense, to their clients or their owners. But first-hand experience, I've found Halifax, I mean, the offices you have there, the customs, when you come on board, when they join you, it's just phenomenal. They're pleasant. They want to walk you through the process. They're transparent.
Has Unbridled ever been to the East Coast?
Not Unbridled. Yeah. I've been on there three other vessels. So,
I know we've been talking about getting Unbridled here, so on the East Coast.
A lot of brokers want to. So I think it's a combination of two parties in the industry. Like, the brokers want to go, but they want charter licenses and certain things. This is the charter industry. But owners want to go, but they just don't know what's there. So for me, I'm here happy to embrace it, because it's easy. Like, I remember even blowing a fuel line off Halifax, and I was heading north to St. John, and turned into port, went in, dropped anchor, called up the local agent, got the Caterpillar dealer down there, and it was fixed. Got a pipe, got the parts on board, and off you go.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, and something that is improving quite rapidly, really, is our access to the marine supply chain through new shipyard renovations. So we have one of our clients in Lunenburg, which is one, you were down in Lunenburg recently when you visited. Yeah. Yeah, the Lunenburg shipyard, one of the oldest shipyard in Canada, is being renovated to accommodate larger yachts. There are other marine service providers that are recognizing that the bigger boats need more bigger infrastructure, so larger travel lifts and more expansive service offering. So that really helps you guys, because you know that when something happens, whether planned or unplanned, you have access to the solution.
Yeah.
And we have such a deep history of providing marine services in this part of the world, dating back to, you know, the age of sail. So the recognition that it's not just a fishing commercial kind of marine industry. We do have a lot of professions that cater to the yacht side on both power and sail as well. Like, a lot of really beautiful sailing yachts come up here, have their rigging done and have sails made, and the list goes on. So I think that's a big part of the awareness as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you put it in front of more captains, in front of more owners, I think that would help as well. Because a lot of captains they base themselves, like, I go to New Bedford a lot in the summer. You know, it's a shipyard, but everyone goes to Newport. I'm like, why is everyone going to Newport, Rhode Island? Like, it's packed, it's busy, it's pricey. There's a minimal amount of resources available. Why don't we go further afield? And like you're saying, Lunenburg is a no-brainer, not only just for the skilled workmanship, but the access to the Halifax International Airport. You've also got the provisions in Halifax parts. But for me, it's the workmanship that you get out of it.
Yeah.
These are real professionals. They're mariners. They understand what going to sea is about, you know?
Yeah, 100%. We just interviewed the captain of the Blue Nose, which is Canada's sailing ambassador. And
I saw that.
Yeah. It honestly, so many times during that interview, we had goosebumps, because it's true. There's just so much knowledge and genuine appreciation for the maritime industry here. It's kind of, it's in our blood, that salt life. And So well, tell us.
I don't realize the ports you've got. You've got Sydney. You've got, you know, Halifax, Sydney, St. John, Prince Edward Island is beautiful. These are solid ports with infrastructure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the ones you just named, we actually coined them a few years ago. Those are our ports of confidence, so that they can kind of solidify your itinerary in each province. You can kind of bounce, you know, travel back and forth between.
You have these. People flying in, yeah. Or you need more like a larger provisioning, or you know, more services. You have those kind of anchor hubs, and then you can kind of remotely experience the beauty of off the beaten path in between some of those.
Yeah. So yeah, Atlantic Canada, between the four Atlantic provinces, New Brunswick. New Brunswick has the St. John River, which you can actually take a fairly large yacht. A friend of ours used to captain a 150-foot yacht that you take through the reversing falls and up into the St. John River. And you can extend miles inland, which is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. So then the Nova Scotia, obviously, which you're familiar with, Prince Edward Island and Newfoundland, which we haven't touched on yet, which is, you know, Cape Breton and Newfoundland itinerary is just incredible.
Have you been to Newfoundland?
Yeah, I have. I think the south coast of Newfoundland. I haven't done the west coast, and it's a part of the world that I'm just like, please let me get there one day. You know,
isn't
that southwest, west corner, because I love sunsets. I always think west coast of an island for some reason for the guests. But what's it like?
It's spectacular. Amazing. I mean, there are fjords. Gros Morne National Park is a fjord. It just feels like you're entering a different world. And the communities there, many of which are only accessible by boat, offer an entirely different cultural experience than you can ever imagine. I mean, they all speak English, but if you can understand them, it's kudos to you, because it's very Newfoundlandese is a language all of its own. But I was storm stayed in Newfoundland once when I was delivering a small sailboat, 36-foot Pearson, from Cornerbrook, Newfoundland to Cape Breton. And my brother and I were stuck for a week in a small outboard in Newfoundland. And I tell you, we were adopted by the entire community. We were so well fed. We left pounds heavier. We were given beer. We were given cars. We were given everything.
You know what? Right? That's not an unusual story either. I mean, I think about Archimedes and... You know, the owner liked to walk. So, you know, kind of wherever they were going in their itinerary, we sort of built in some special places where he could go walk. And one of them was Pictou Island.
Right.
There's no power on Pictou Island. It feels like you're in the Dominican. It's the most beautiful island on the Northumberland Strait, in between kind of Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island in that area. And locals, they were only there for about, I don't know, like a couple hours. Every vehicle would stop, ask if they needed a drive somewhere,
you want a sandwich,
you want a beer. Yeah. Like that is, I think, in the realest sense, one of the things that makes Canada so special is that you find every port you go into, you're going to find people like that. They're just so welcoming. And they really embrace, you know, visitors, especially by sea. And I think it does take us back in time. I feel like that's kind of, like I said, in our blood. Like, we're used to people coming to visit by sea.
Yeah.
You also got the French Islands up there, too. What's the French Islands?
So the Magdalen Islands are part of Quebec. And they're stunning because they're largely just all sand.
And Saint-Pierre-Miquelon.
So then we have the actual French islands of Saint-Pierre-Miquelon off the south coast of Newfoundland. So when you come, you know, Atlantic Canadian itinerary can include a stop legitimately in France.
Which
really is like going to France. Every currency,
all the cheeses, the wine.
It's only a few kilometers off the coast of Newfoundland. We've talked a lot about the East Coast. That's where we're rooted. But let's talk about your upcoming itinerary.
Yeah, I
want to
hear about your trip.
We're busy season. It's a long way from Panama to Juneau, Alaska. You know, so we've currently right now we're in Panama, going through the canal next Tuesday, then to Costa Rica, and then all the way up to Baja California and the Sea of Cortez. Then Newport. There's a show over there, a boat show. And then we go straight up and we go into Canada, Vancouver and Victoria. And I love Victoria's got a special place for me for some reason. Vancouver Island, Victoria. It was a girlfriend years ago.
Oh, you better look over your back, make sure nobody heard that.
Yeah, when I was 19, I had a love in Victoria, Vancouver Island, and I went over there, and I don't think I've found an island as almost as beautiful as what it was when I was 19 in love, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a special place. But that whole area, so Unbridled's going to cruise up the Inside Passage up towards Juneau. So we'll be staying there for a month on the start and the end of the seasons and then see what the charter requirements are at that time of year.
Amazing.
Is the crew all excited?
Oh, pumped. Yeah. We have two Canadian crew like you talked about, and their Instagram handle was Toucan. And it took me about like 6 months to figure out it means two Canadians.
Oh my gosh.
Because they called that sailboat toucans, and I was thinking, why is it toucans? And then I'm thinking
we have a funny way of, I don't know what it is about being Canadian, but if you go anywhere outside of Canada, the first thing people will say is, well, we have a Canadian on board, or I have a Canadian friend, or it's kind of a club.
Yeah,
they say with positivity when they say about Australians, like, yeah, we know in Australia. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Right. No, I remember when we went on Unbridled at the Newport Charter Show. I think we were on there for 2 seconds, and somebody said, "We have a Canadian crew on board," and we met them there, and we've kept in touch. It's lovely.
Yeah,
special. I'm passionate about Canada. I really am. Not just my family are moving there, but I always look for new destinations.
Yeah,
it's hard. Really hard as a captain with 25 years to go, yeah, Galapagos, been there, Sea of Cortez, been there, all of those places I've been. But to take a yacht in areas like Victoria and Vancouver Island and these different ports up the west coast and east coast, like the south of, St. John area, that's special. That's really easy to get to Iceland almost than the southwest of St. John in terms of mentally as a captain, because guests think Iceland's amazing. No disrespect to Iceland, but it was cold, windy, and a 2 week season. It was
right.
And up North Atlantic. Whereas I'd rather any day of the week take a yacht to the south of St. John or Bridor Lakes or any of those.
Well, and I think one of the things being Canadian is also being very modest, not celebrating what we are, who we are, and where we are. We have to change that. I think we do that quite a bit.
We're playing our part here. Yeah. The last few years we've been really trying to be more loud about how amazing this place is.
Just the natural extension of the New England and Maine coastline. We call it a connected coastline, and we have lots of historical ties to New England and Maine between the Maritimes. But it's just getting recognition that is worth doing, and that it is as we say in Cape Breton, it's the same but different experience. I think getting it out there that Canada's a safe and secure destination. You can disappear, into the wilderness or off, you can find places without cell coverage if that's what you want, and that's the place I seek out sometimes. But I think it really comes back to from the captain's perspective, is that you don't want to get into the vastly unknown. You need tools to support your work and to support the operation of the boat and the experience of the guest and owner.
So I'm curious, since you're a captain of a super yacht, you've been here on a boat before. But if another captain came to you, what would be kind of the top five things that you would say, like, you have to go to Canada because?
I'd just say, I'd almost compare it. Why go to the New England? Like, why go to the New England? Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, you've got Provincetown, you've got Boston, you've got Maine, Portland. All those are interesting places on the way to a destination, and Canada should be the destination. Because Canada offers what the clients want. Whereas the northeast of the United States is beautiful, New England. But that's what the brokers, and that's generally what the easy thing to offer the client is. And for the captain, that's easy. But with so much saturation in the market, you have to really be smart and start trying to get the client to the end, to the ultimate destination.
Mm-hmm.
So the top five for me, Lidstone Lodge is probably in my life. It's just north of Halifax, correct? Lidstone Lodge?
Lidstone Lodge?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Right. My whole life, I've been there twice, two different yachts. One I got up there, 112-foot yacht up there and tied up to a tree and a rock. But then another time I took the tender up there. But both times it was like, this is paradise. It's a river with water running down it, with salmon and trout, with, you know, just a stunning part of the world that guests should see that will take them to that uniqueness that they're looking for. You don't get in Nantucket. You might get nice restaurants and a good walk, but it's packed. You know, there's no more left on the northeast coast of the United States. Even Maine over the last decade is saturated, you know? So if you want that uniqueness, I think, you know, it's the best cruising grounds that I think on the whole of the East Coast, all the way from Greenland to Panama. It offers the most uniqueness. But you've also got the support of those ports of convenience you mentioned, or was it convenience?
Ports of confidence.
Right? Because you've got Sydney, you've got these places with international airports, with professional transport, with English speaking, and the final one is the dollar. Right. The US dollar. It's a simple equation for these owners. $1 is $1.35, correct?
Or more. No,
yeah.
More.
And it's not something that gets talked about a lot within the yachting industry about how much further your dollar goes, and especially not even talking just to come here on a trip, but not even taking into account, you know, coming for service, refits and anything that might happen along the way. We're definitely equipped with that here, and people don't really comprehend how affordable that is.
Yeah.
What's the season? That's probably the biggest question a lot of captains ask me. Like they're my top five, you know, the currency, the remoteness, the support, the locations, and the ports of confidence. But what's the season is the one that the captains ask me and say, yeah, but it's a short season. I'm like, I go July.
It's similar to New England, though. And, you know, and people, I think it's no shorter than New England. Oh. And I think that's the misconception.
It might be a couple weeks behind Newport, but then our falls extend late into October. So, like technically, we like to wish for a May to October season, but the summer, real summer weather, kicks in.
Consistent weather-wise, I would say end of June, early July, and then I would push it to the end of October. I mean,
the fall is spectacular.
September and October.
Imagine being in the Bador Lakes with Unbridled in October with all the fall colors of the mountains surrounding you, and you're in an inland sea surrounded by this quilt of nature.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it is a quilt.
It's just spectacular. And the other thing we like to say, so our springs can be a little dodgy.
Dodgy?
I don't know where that came from. I don't think that's a Canadian word.
Dodgy.
But so
challenging. That's what we say in yachting, challenging. You know,
challenging. So what I'd like to suggest to captains, if you're considering doing the Great Lakes, then transit up through Atlantic Canada in the spring, up into the Great Lakes, come back down through the St. Lawrence Seaway in early summer, explore Atlantic Canada July, August, or into the fall. I mean,
that's the ultimate.
There are ways to work with our short season to make your season longer.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Say it's a short season. That's just a normal season, you know, same as the Caribbean.
I know.
Long season, it's not really. It's kind of end of November. It's kind of mid November to mid January, February. That's the Caribbean season, you know.
I think the fear is that from a boating perspective is like October 1st, we flick a switch and 4 feet of snow falls.
Everybody out.
Like just boom, snow.
I think, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it is the fact that we're, you know, you're not bragging about all the amazing things to do and see here all the time, but there are a lot of misconceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, even just people, I remember when you first started going to the boat shows, people be like, Oh, the tides. Oh, the tides up there are awful, like dangerous.
And can't do that.
Yeah,
60-foot tides are not for me. I'm like, well, it's only in the Bay of Fun. And you start to explain
it's very centralized. You can still explore it.
Right? Like you're going up and down, but the boat's not like you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoreline gets better, gets bigger, you know?
Well, and the, one of the biggest improvements in the last number of years, you would definitely have seen that in Halifax and by extension a little bit more in Lunenburg, and it's happening around the province, is we're developing better infrastructure.
Yeah.
Now, we're not building super yacht marinas because that's just not really, that's not our authentic self. It's, we're more of timber, traditional waterfronts, but with floating docks and power and water and internet and all that good stuff. And that's what our visitors love. They love coming into that. I'm really entering this, you know, authentic coastal experience. So,
yeah, I think we're always kind of on that border. We don't want too many people to come, and it becomes saturated, and we don't want to be, we want to stay true to who we are and be, and have authentic places for our marine visitors to come visit. So we don't, you know, we don't want to be Monaco, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're better than Monaco. And also, Bill, I realize just south between, I think, what's the cut between Nova Scotia and the Bredour Lakes? Is that
the Strait of Canso?
Yeah, Strait of Canso. That's stunning in itself. So people, if you don't get all the way to St. John, if you don't get all the way to Prince Edward Island or the Great Lakes, you've still got 2-3 months of solid cruising in the Bay of Fundy, like all the way across. So you don't have to reach out far. Like Lunenburg is, for me, I could spend a week in Lunenburg just at anchor with great restaurants, you've got great people, good art, good history, good, you know, there's wine regions around there. It's quite unique. Like you don't
feel Lunenburg is a special place for sure. And I honestly, of how many years have you been involved in yachting? I don't think you've ever heard somebody come and, you know, explore any of this area and go, I'm not coming back.
Oh yeah, no. No, normally it's like boats that have come for 2 days have stayed for 2 weeks. Boats that have come for 2 weeks stay for 2 months.
Yeah. If anything, they want to come back or they wish they had more time.
Yeah, so I mean, this conversation and more like this is what's going to make the difference. And having champions like you and ambassadors who have visited and who have spent are spending more time in Canada is just, you know, it really makes us excited about the future of yachting in this country. And what's really exciting is we grow visitation by bigger boats. We're increasing the accessibility for our locals to get, you know, into the marine lifestyle, into the recreational boating, whether it's a stand-up paddleboard, little sailboat, or a bigger yacht. It's about everybody enjoying our waters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, I think long-term, maybe getting more crew from Canada into the yachting sector. I know there is Canadian yacht owners, but you don't see as many Canadian crew as I would like. I mean, we all know a lot of South Africans come from so far away, but to have Canadians, there is a benefit there. There's, from a tax point of view, there's challenges, but every country has its challenges.
Yeah, it can be all figured out.
Yeah, it all figures out. So to me, I'd like to try and encourage more Canadian crew to reach out and try and join the industry because it's the closest resource we have for English-speaking quality crew.
Our daughter will be happy about that. Our daughter's graduating from high school this year, and she call it being exposed by her parents to this industry, but she has her heart set on working on a yacht. So,
lovely. Well, send it to her, Brad. We'll take it for the summer.
There you go. Yeah. Well, she's going to university to take a marine focused study, which will be great for her to help inform her future work, probably on boats. But look, Captain Leon, this has been tremendous. I don't even know how much time we spent on this, but I think we could talk all day about the opportunities, the excitement, your experiences. We've just barely scratched the surface, so I think you have to become a regular on Yachting Canada. I think we just made you a Yachting Canada ambassador.
I'll be flying the flag on the West Coast. You know, it's an honor. I think you've got a wonderful platform and you're wonderful people, and it's really exciting to kind of really spread the word of positivity and professionalism that's in Canada that people haven't tapped into. Like, I know yachts, captains want to go there, but we don't really get the support from the owners because the owners don't see it. In their high net worth circle, they don't see Canada as a cruising destination because they don't have the information. But if we start saying, look, forget Martha's Vineyard and Newport, Rhode Island, no disrespect, they're great places. But let's try something different. Let's go to, you know, Lunenburg for a couple of days and Halifax for a couple of days, and they'll have a trip of their lifetime. 1 week is all we kind of you need as a minimum for people to get a taste of Canada. You know, from Lunenburg Halifax to Rideau Lakes.
I think that's where our passion comes from too, is that, you know, you can go visit anywhere and you know, have somebody book your berth and make sure that you have fuel at a certain port. But it's about understanding who's on board and what they're interested in, and then showing them the magic of this place that's in line with that.
Well, you've said it best. I think you had a post recently that I listened to, and you're talking about, you know, your job and your role and creating the experience, and that moment when you see your guest or your owner totally immersed in the environment that you've created. And I think you said it could be for 5 seconds or 5 minutes, but it doesn't matter because you're like, yes,
you did it.
We got it in Prince Edward Island. We landed a 400-pound bluefin tuna in Prince Edward Island. And the owner was just over the moon. He was just giving it to the crew to reel in. He was tired. His wife was taking pictures. That took 2 hours, and that was a special moment. But we got the same when the local mussel person, I know we've got to go, but the local mussel person in Prince Edward Island who runs the factory there gave us like a big, I forget the name of it, but it's a box of mussels. There's a name they measure it. And he just gave us a box of mussels and said, oh, have a good day, you know. And I'm like, the owner was like, that's the nicest thing I've seen someone do in a long time. Just a whole box straight off.
Oh, isn't that?
Come to Canada for the nicest people.
That's, you know, what a great segue to close this out. I think Canada is the gift that she keeps on giving.
Yeah.
And we're here. Come see us.
Yeah. We're happy to help make your trip that much better. Yeah. Because it's already spectacular.
What's that?
How do people get a hold of you?
Oh, no, this is over to Amanda. This is a marketing question.
Yeah, superyachteastcoast.com or on socials. We're very active on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn. You can reach out to Captain Liam. I'm sure he'd put you in touch with us as well.
Oh, and you are very active on the Unbridled channel. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having fun. We're not sure, you know, just having fun. We don't know. We're none of us are marketing experts per se, but we believe in transparency and honesty and kind of positivity, and that's the kind of energy we're giving off. And they're happy people. There is good crew. The brokers all say the crew are the most important. So I'm like, well, let's show us, because I think they are special. We work really hard for these clients in the end of the day.
No, this is great. So I think, you know, a shout out to the platform we all roll up into, Yachting International Radio. Rhea has been tremendously supportive. Another Canadian.
She's a fellow Canadian, yeah.
And her, West Coaster. So we thank her tremendously for this exposure that we're able to create for Canada. So thank you again, Captain. Pleasure. Always great to see you. We really appreciate you giving us your time here this afternoon.
Thank you very much.